Good morning. Today's scripture is from Matthew 9, verse 35, through chapter 10, verse 14. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and cure every disease. First Simon, these are the names of his 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among Gentiles and enter no town of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you come, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town.
Thank you, Keith. I love that we get to see multiple faces, and it's good to see yours, my friend. Well, this scripture never uses the word, but this passage is all about faith. What it means to be a faithful disciple. Faith in this case is not about belief, it is about commitment. This is a prescription for how to be faithful to Jesus, and to be faithful to Jesus means to be faithful to God's people. So even though we don't actually hear those words, this passage teaches us how to live out an essential faith. We are required to be faithful, but to be mindful that being faithful first means that we must teach, preach, and care for the sick and the vulnerable. Like the words I rewrote to our essential faith song that we sang out just moments ago with so much joy: "Oh, I want someone to hold me, but we're waiting for a cure." We are mindful that the task of the disciple is to care for the well-being of others before accounting for our own desires. It doesn't mean that we should fail at self-care, but we also must be mindful that ministry is about caring for one another. It is about showing compassion for the harassed and helpless and doing the very obvious thing: choosing to help. Being a part of the cure instead of a part of the problem. When Jesus saw the crowds who were harassed and helpless, he showed compassion. In fact, it's not lost on commentators of the translation here, because it comes from the Greek word esplagniste, which is associated with the bowels. We've all heard the phrase, "I hate your guts." Well, this is actually the opposite. "I love you in my guts." To be so moved, that you feel it in your bowels. That's some strong imagery. So moved by the harassed and helpless. How relevant is this in such a time as ours, as we live through this pandemic and face the ugly, unjust, and lethal racism alive in our countries? Are we moved in our bowels? Does your stomach churn and your bowels clench with compassion so deep it unsettles your stomach, that you're almost in physical pain because of the injustice in our world? The imagery that is encapsulated in the Greek gets lost in our English. But when we look closely, we cannot just hear the compassion. We can feel it deep down in our guts as well. So how do we be helpers and healers? How do we be faithful disciples? Because in a time such as this, we need to know and we need to strive to be. Jesus gave his life to this, but he could not do it alone. Unfortunately, he knew the harsh reality. There's a lot of work to be done, and not everyone is ready or willing to do it. The harvest is plentiful, he says, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. There is a lot of work to be done, because there is a lot of hurting, a lot of healing needs to be had, but there's also a lot of joy, a lot of goodness, and a lot of hope to be harvested as well. The laborers are few, but it's the task of those laborers to do the work of the Lord of the harvest. The work that Jesus began can only be completed when his disciples take to the fields to get the job done. Immediately after saying this, Jesus gathered all the disciples around him, and Matthew gives us all of their names. Now, it's not that important for today, except that when you hear the list, you better listen hard, because I think I heard yours among them, and maybe mine too. The disciples were then given the power to do all the things that Jesus did. This is crucially important because it meant that Jesus was no longer the only person who could do this work. He was no longer the only healer. He was no longer the only preacher of good news. He was no longer the only one commissioned to cure the sick and feed the hungry, heck, even raise the dead. This is huge, right? Did you hear it? The disciples are suddenly miracle makers. They can do what Jesus did. He was no longer singularly capable or responsible. We are only too quick, though, to let Jesus keep all that power to himself, because we know that with power comes responsibility and, well, you know, it's a lot of responsibility to do what Jesus does. But that's the thing about Jesus. He didn't make it about him. In fact, he very much makes it about us, his disciples. The disciples were equipped with the very same power that he had, and then they were charged with doing the work. One of my favorite passages for the sheer weirdness of it all comes from the Gospel of John, when Jesus appears post-Easter and then he breathes on the disciples. Well, we're a couple of weeks off of Pentecost, but this was sort of a pre-Pentecost, a foreshadowing, if you will, of a Pentecostal experience when the breath of God descends, Jesus blows his spirit upon the disciples and thereby giving him his power, giving them the breath of life, his ministry, because that's what Jesus does. In different situations, in different ways, but over and over again, he says, "It's not about me, it's about you. You have the power to do this work, and you have the responsibility to do it." But somehow, the you and the me end up feeling like disciples, resistant to pick up the cross. And yet he gives specific instructions, telling them to go out into the world and get to work. Now, he intentionally doesn't send them to some places. We can read into this and do some layering work here. Some of this could be the hand of the author and not the intention of Jesus. If you will remember, the writer of Matthew writes for a very Judean audience. But when I read Jesus saying, don't go to the Gentiles and the Samaritans, go to the lost sheep of Israel, I keep in mind the slant of the gospel writer, but I also read it as a very clear mandate not to proselytize. Don't call calling the speck in another's eyes when you got a big old piece of wood in your own. Matthew has Jesus being critical of the house of Israel, not because Jesus doesn't like Jews, but because Jesus was a Jew. And he told the disciples, we got to clean up our house. There's a lot of pain right here. A lot of injustice right here. A whole lot of need. A whole lot of hurting. A whole lot of aching that needs healing. Right here. So get to work, disciples, he says. Don't get too comfortable either. Take what little you have, that which you can carry. Find people who want to help, be a part of the change. Do the job until it's done. And if you aren't welcome or heard, shake the dust from your feet and move on. Don't let it stop you or discourage you from doing the work. Do the work. Hard stop. Do the work. Well, we have a lot of work to do, but the good news is we have been equipped. Today's disciples are not expected to raise the dead, but we are expected to share the good news, to bring healing to every home, to cast out the demons of our society, of which there are many. This is our call. So church, how are we going to do this today? The good news is that Fairview Community Church is not new to discipleship. We have been doing this together for some time now. With each new day, a new challenge unfolds, certainly, but Jesus has equipped us. He has taught us with the prophetic words of those who went before him. We know what we are called to do, and Jesus says we can do it. In fact, he commands it. There's a lot asked of us. And perhaps this year it feels like there is more than ever. We've been asked to reimagine church, to step up and claim what we believe, to really be the church without walls, to be the body of Christ beyond a building, to choose to protect the most vulnerable among us rather than give in to our own desire for comfort and familiarity. We have long proclaimed that Black Lives Matter, often to the chagrin of our neighbors, because they have tried to silence us and shame us, and they did it again this week. They have called us names, they have stolen our banner, spray painted it. They've tried to shut us up and tame us into submission, but we are not going to be intimidated by white supremacy that seeks to force us to fall in line. Instead, we will name our privilege and seek to be a part of the cure. To end racial discrimination, police brutality, and a corrupt system that fails to protect the least of these. Why? Because we feel it in our guts, the way Jesus did. And we will not forget what Jesus has called us to do. We must be healers. We must be church. So yes, we will be church, Fairview. We will be the church of disciples, faithful, not to our way of doing things and the traditions that have kept us comfortable, but faithful to Jesus, to walk into the new places and spaces that he sends us into to create church, to do the work, to head into the unknown future that awaits us, mindful that Jesus is not here to do the work for us, but with us, to inspire us to do the work, both as individuals and collectively as Fairview Community Church. We have been equipped. And now we must commit to essentially live by faith. faithful to this ministry, committed to go out into the field and labor for God's kingdom. This is what makes us Fairview Community Church. Not a building, not even a budget, but a commitment to do the work. No matter the cost, no matter the insecurities, no matter the fear, no matter what. This is what makes us disciples. This is what makes us church. So church, let us walk into a new year, unsure about what the future will bring, but knowing that we have been equipped and commissioned to do this work with Jesus. Amen.